Concepts. This is Keith Fields. Thanks for tuning in. Today I am doing a remote broadcast. And this is the first remote broadcast that I have done so far on WSIV Inspirational Radio. And I'm looking forward to getting into the studio and doing some live broadcast. So before we get started, I'd like to say a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all of the blessings and all of the opportunities that you've given us, even in the midst of these rough and dangerous times. Lord, you can bless your people, and you can provide for your people, and you can protect your people. For you are Almighty God, and you are loving, and you don't want any of us to perish, Lord God. You don't want any of us to be lost, Lord. You want the best for all of us. And yes, we know, we understand that we live in a fallen world, Lord. And we understand that we will have hard times, Lord God, but we understand that even a hard day with you is better than a good day without you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Hallelujah. Today I want to share with you from the Holy Bible, the Holy Scriptures, the book of Matthew, chapter 19, and I want to start at verse 13, and I'm going to go through to the end of the chapter, and then on to chapter 20 to verse 16. Praise God. Starting in Matthew chapter 19, verse 13. Then there were brought unto him little children that he should put his hands on them. Then there were brought to him little children that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, Suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is, God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He said unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Then answered Peter and said unto him, "Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore?" And Jesus said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first." Amen. That concludes our reading out of Matthew chapter 19. Let's go ahead to chapter 20, verse 1. "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, 'Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you.' And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and said unto them, 'Why stand ye here all the day idle?' They say unto him, 'Because no man has hired us.' He says unto them, 'Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive.' So when evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, 'Call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last until the first.' And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, 'These last have brought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us which have borne the burden and heat of the day.' But he answered one of them and said, 'Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own? It is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last, for many be called, but few chosen." Praise God. Amen. That concludes our reading in chapter 20. So, what is taking place here? We see a common theme. We see something that, a point that Jesus has made twice. He has said that the last shall be first, and the first last. He said that, and he's used these parables to emphasize or to explain this point. So, in explaining the point, he has told us that Well, in the beginning, in chapter 19, verse 13, what happened? There were some little children that were sent to him, and the people wanted Jesus to lay his hands on them and pray for them. And the disciples were standing around, and they rebuked the people. The disciples, they were trying to protect Jesus, and they felt that they were doing what they were supposed to do. They more than likely they considered this as their faithful service to the Lord. But Jesus rebuked them. In other words, he corrected them, and he told them, suffer the little children. In other words, put up with the little children. Have patience with them. And he was saying, let them come to me. Bring them to me. Let them come to me. Don't keep the children away from me. He said, for such is the kingdom of heaven. You know, there's this song, Jesus loves the little children. Well, you know, we're all children in a lot of ways. But it's very, very important that we teach children the faith. We send children to school, and it's not the school's job or the school's desire to teach the children faith. But in order for us to teach the children faith, we have to have that faith ourselves. We have to come to Jesus ourselves in order to teach our children what it is about. But Jesus was saying here, the people were bringing the children to Jesus. And the disciples rebuked the people for bringing the children to Jesus. And we have to be careful that we're not doing things that are stopping our children from coming to the Lord. Well, what kind of things could these be? It could be a myriad of things that we don't even recognize that we're doing, like, one, by us not coming to the Lord, by us not having consistent spiritual discipline and spiritual practices, by us being wishy-washy with our faith, you know, half-stepping it, so to speak. Maybe we're one way on Sunday in church, and we do go to church, and we do take our children to church, but then after we come out of church, we're different. Maybe we're different to the people that are in the church, our friends in church, than we are to our neighbors. Maybe we're nicer to the children in church than we are to our own children in our homes. The children see these things, and it creates questions in them and bad feelings in them, and it may deter them, it may cloud the way that they perceive the kingdom of God, the way that they perceive the Lord, because they may start to question, is this thing real? Is this thing, you know, can anyone really love the Lord like they say they do? Because we're their examples, and they're looking to us, and we don't love the Lord like we say we do, because our actions show it. We don't have the love in our hearts, and we don't respond to our neighbors in the same way that we respond to our friends in church or whatever the case may be. So the point is that we want to create an atmosphere to where our children are exposed to the things of God, and where our children are able to receive the things of God and grow up in these things, because the next generation is is the next generation of leaders. The next generation are the ones that will support the current generation when the current generation is on its way out. So part of our responsibility is to bring the children and allow the children to come to the Lord. We could probably think of a lot of ways that we discourage that and in a lot of ways that we hinder that. But, you know, I will say that there's a lot of ways that we facilitate that and we make that happen too. So, let's honor those who are working diligently to see those things happen, and let's encourage those who don't recognize the fact that it is their responsibility to make this happen, and let us pray for those who aren't aware of this issue at all, for those who don't know the Lord at all and who do not have that lineage, that tradition or that faith in their families passing down through the generations to the children. One of the things that is going on in our communities and in our nation and in our world that is causing a lot of problems is the lack of honor, is the lack of the fear of God, is the lack of the respect and the desire to live the things of God and to experience the things of God. We are discouraged and distracted from those things in daily life. In the institutions will tell us that such as our government and the government has the public school systems and so on and so forth, and they say, well, you have to have a separation of church and state, so we don't teach religion in the school, we don't pray in the school or in public places, and you have to go to a free speech zone, a certain spot at a certain hour or whatever, if you want to share your faith or whatever, and so there is this tension between the world and actually the kingdom of God, which is living out your faith through each individual, through each person of faith. Is a part of the kingdom of God, is a territory in the kingdom of God. And so there's a tension between the kingdom of God and the world in that there is a tension pertaining to the expression of our faith. So it's easy to find the reasons and find the excuses and find the motivations to not fully express it and fully express our faith or fully live our faith in all areas, in all domains of our lives. Amen. So when we go forward and looking in Matthew chapter 19, we see that Jesus has told us that he wants the children to come to him, and that is important. And if we think about it, we can see how it is important. Well, this young man, which seems to be a righteous man, then came up to Jesus and said, well, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And Jesus said, asked him the question. He said, why do you call me good? For there's none good but one, and that is God. But if you will keep if you want to enter into life, eternal life, then keep the commandments. If you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. Well, he's telling the man that nobody's perfect. Only God is perfect. Only God is good. He asked the question, why do you call me good? This man was able to see the God in Jesus. this man was able to see that Jesus had something more than what he had. And so he was asking Jesus, what is it that I can do? He knew that Jesus was sent from God, and he knew that Jesus was speaking the truth. And he recognized this, and he was longing for these things of God. And he was a young man. And so this is a young man that more than likely he had been encouraged into the faith, and encouraged into following God, into living a life that was pleasing to God. So he more than likely, as a child, this is where his mind was molded, and how he became interested in living a pleasing a life that was pleasing to God, and where there's more than likely during his childhood when he saw something that motivated him towards the things of God. Well, he asked Jesus, "What can I do?" Well, Jesus immediately told him the commandments. He told him, he said, "Thou shalt not murder. You shall not commit adultery." That's forms of fornication or cheating on your spouse, which is your husband or wife. Or thou shalt not steal, and you shall not bear false witness, which is lying or committing some type of fraud. It says, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So this is what Jesus told him to do. Well, the young man said, I've done all these things ever since I was young, and so what else do I have to do? Is there anything other than that I have to do? And Jesus said, if you want to be perfect, then go and sell everything that you have and give it to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Why was that so important? Because Jesus is pointing out something that it becomes a stumbling block to many of us, is we get attached to our things. We get attached to the things and the ways of the world, and it pressures us, and it distracts us, and it causes us to turn away from the things of God. We forget about God. You know, we remember that it's Sunday. We've been trained since we were young that Sunday was the Sabbath. That's the day to worship the Lord and everything like that. A lot of us pick up on that as we're young. And we see people going to church and things like that on Sunday. We start to, as young people, we understand that there's a time to set aside for worshiping God. But then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, it's a whole nother deal. Okay, Sunday was church, or Saturday, you know, was church, and you know, whatever day people celebrate, you know, and I just want to say right here that everyone is not like that. Obviously, some people set aside time for God every day, and some people their lives are worship, and so this is not just a statement against everyone, but it is to say that this person is just like a lot of people who recognize, just by what they see, just by the example of others, that there is a time to set aside time for God. But the point here is that sometimes the things of the world, our lives and things like that, tempt us away and distract us and discourage us. Sometimes we're embarrassed to say that we are a followers of Jesus Christ. You know, some people are ashamed of that because a lot of the people around them aren't. Some people don't want to be rejected and shunned because they follow Christ and the people around them don't. They want to be included. They don't want people to say, oh, well, you know, he or she is a Jesus freak, you know, and I don't want to talk to them. I don't want to deal with them. You know, they think they're, and blah, 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 blah. And people don't want that to happen, so, you know, they sort of sweep their faith under the rug or hide it under their coat so that people don't recognize it, and they sort of pretend, hey, I'm just like you, and I, you know, and things like that. And people will even go so far as to do things that are against what they really believe. They will compromise their own integrity to fit in. And these are some of the ways that the world discourages us. And this is why Jesus is saying, you know, sell everything that you have and come and follow me. Because now where's your focus going to be? You don't have all these things, you know, that's going to distract you and pull you away. You know, we have to work and make money and things like that. And so, you know, there's time we have to be on our jobs and things like that. And then, you know, some cases are so extreme that people are working jobs that they don't even feel confident of working because of their faith. And they're in environments that they're very uncomfortable with, but that's the job that they have, and they need to make the money. And so, you know, the compromise happens. Some people begin to become more like their environment and things like that. And so, you know, when Jesus is bringing this to light, and he's exposing the man's heart, and this exposes our hearts. You know, what are we willing to give up for the Lord? He's saying, don't just give it up. Don't just walk away from it, but give it. Give it to the poor, someone who needs it. And then come and follow me. So now you have, if you're to do that, you take in what you have and you bless someone else. That is loving your neighbor as yourself. You would want, if you didn't have something, you would want to have it. If you didn't have a way of getting it, you would want someone to give it to you or help you to get it. Amen. And so you're fulfilling that. And then now you don't have anything. You've given everything away, and now you're going to follow Jesus. How are you going to do that? You don't have anything, so you are going to trust him fully with your life and for your sustenance and for your protection. Amen. Well, Jesus makes a promise over here in verse 29 that goes beautifully right here. And Jesus promises that those that have followed him will rule with him. And then he goes on in verse 29, he says, and everyone that has forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. Amen. And he says, but many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Jesus explained it more with the parable of the laborers. They all came at different times into the vineyard to work. But Jesus, they made their agreement with God that they were going to with the master, and said that they were going to work for him. And so that's what we need, what we should do, is when we realize that we are going to give our lives to the Lord, we should give it wholly, and we should be examples. Amen. I'm out of time right now, and I just want to thank you all for listening, and I pray that everyone that doesn't know Jesus would just call on Jesus and ask him into their lives. He can change lives. Jesus can save, and he can do it for you. He wants to do it for you. He's waiting to do it for you. Just call on him. God bless you. You've been listening to Kingdom Concepts. My name is Keith Fields. Thanks for listening.